Hello and welcome to the Wanted Podcast. I am Spiwe Mpia. At Business Day Wanted, we strive to be more than just a content platform, but a conduit opening portals into the world of luxury, not only through content, but in our audience's lived experience. Our most ambitious venture to date is our foray into the private members club space through the Most Wanted Club. In this episode, we meet Paulo dos Santos, director of Quintessentially South Africa and Business Day Wanted's partner in delivering the Most Wanted Club. Quintessentially is the world's leading lifestyle management group that takes luxury concierge to an entirely new level. A membership to the Most Wanted Club grants you not only access to exclusive events and lifestyle services, but to a global network of like-minded individuals in a world that previously you could only dream of. We chatted to Paulo recently about his long history in the luxury business and dive deeper into the wondrous world of the Most Wanted Club. Enjoy. Paulo, welcome to the Wanted Podcast. First and foremost, before we go, who are you? Who is Paulo dos Santos?
Thank you, Sipiwe. It's a pleasure to be here. So I'm 53 years old, so almost a dinosaur. I was born and raised in Portugal, Lisbon, and I lived the most of my youth that side. I studied in Spain for 2 years, something that at the time was connected with my family business. So I studied gemology, basically the science for precious stones. And for around 20 years of my life, I was in the space of watch and jewelry. So that was my family business. So mostly I deal with Richemont, owned by a South African, by the way, LVMH, and all the Swiss luxury brands in terms of watches, and mostly the Italian jewelers. So from Pienegonda, that was a big name on the 90s, to Pomellato, so all the luxury brands in terms of watch and jewels. And then in 2016, I swift shares. I have a new share since then. And basically, I started with Quintessentially. So Quintessentially, we are the leading concierge lifestyle group in the world. We started 25 years in the UK. And most at the time, we started servicing whole eight network individuals that arrived to London, and basically they had the money, but they didn't have the access. And this could be for easy things like booking a restaurant, but booking an appointment at the doctor, and having access to boarding schools or summer camps or the best universities that you have in the world for a PhD or a master's. But also, if you want to go for the weekend in the French Riviera, how to plan the trip, accommodations, transfers, and what to do while we are there. So I started in 2016 in Lisbon with Quintessentially, and I moved. I was living for 3 years in Dubai before I came to South Africa, and I started in SA in 2019. So more or less 6 years in part-time of my life. I fly a lot. So I'm usually half of the time here and half of the time flying around.
So let's put a pause there a little bit, because I want to go back. You've given us a very good background, and there are a couple of things that I'd like to talk about there. First of all, the family business. It's intriguing for me, for someone who didn't have a family business like that. You know, my parents were professionals, and what is it like growing up in, you know, working with your family and knowing, did you know that from an early age that you would eventually go, even before you studied, you took your studies further. Did you know that you would go into the family business, and what did you understand about the family business before you entered into it?
Well, the family business is something that grows with you, and I remember spending most of my summer times working with my dad at the time, so helping him in terms of managing the shops. when I say managing in a very basic way, obviously I was a teenager and
so these are jewelry and watch stores.
Yeah, okay. Correct. And basically, I had always a passion in terms of connecting with people. And a little bit like my father, because he started his career first to be a jeweler. But he had much more passion for the connecting with people. So he moved from manufacturing more to the business of having shops. And I feel that I have a little bit the same gene that he had in terms of dealing with people, connecting people. And you know that at the time I used to say that the jewel is always someone that is present in the most important times of your life, because when you get married, you buy a ring. When you propose with a diamond ring. So when your kids are born, also you get the very classic cross with a chain. So it was always a matter about connecting with people and to see what really matter for them, what is important for them, what makes them happy. And the reason why then I was in business was, I'll say, unfortunate on my side. So my father passed away very young. And at the time, I had to basically run the business. So as easy as that.
Yeah. And how old were you when you started?
I was 22.
Sure. Okay. That must have been a tough one. But I suppose the learnings that you had earlier helped.
Yeah, as I said, since I was a teenager, I spent most of my summer holidays in the shops helping my father. So I had a very good knowledge in terms of the product, what people expect. And then before I went to Spain for the study of gemology, I did a few courses in Belgium, so in Antwerp, in terms of the diamond side. So I was, I would say, much ready in terms of knowledge, in terms of the product itself, how to manufacture, sometimes how to influence design in terms of the jewels themselves, and then obviously to run the marketing campaigns. And this was something that maybe 30 years ago was a little bit new, but kind of you give a name to a collection, you tell people what inspired you to develop that collection and to launch it, and you create a story.
Mm. And then you're 22 years old, you start running the family business. How long until you then moved on, and what informed that decision to move on?
Well, basically, I had no choice. So when we have no choice, it's the easy solution. Sometimes in life, you have two or three different options. At the time, so when my father passed away, it was a very sudden thing. And basically, the option was to manage the business or to manage the business. So I could choose from the both what I want. The thing is that since early days, and even because I know that Wanted as a every year, a magazine about watches and jewels. So I'm sure that you are familiar. There is in Switzerland in March, and used to be in Jan, the Watch and Wonders.
Yes.
So I'm familiar with that world since I was 18.
Sure.
So that also helped me in the future in terms of, and you know, I would say that probably watches are the companies that invest the most in terms of your experiential side. So you get invited for the best hotels, you have the best chefs cooking for you, you have the celebrities, and this already happened like 30 years ago, that will go for meet and greet with the professionals in terms of the sector. So I was quite spoiled and exposed to that world. What makes my life very easy in terms of the transition side. So basically, when I joined Quintessential and I decided that I want to do something connected to lifestyle, it's about also, you know, when you age, you start choosing what you want more than just going for the money. End of the day, it's more important to wake up in the morning, and I'll tell this a lot to my team, to wake up in the morning and to be happy because you are going to work. You are not going to work because you need to make money. You're going to work because you like what you do. And to have that kind of passion, I think, always delivers a different experience. And this goes from someone that that is a reporter or a chef in a restaurant, when you deliver things with passion, I think the result is, end of the day, is always better.
Hmm. So again, I ask you then, so you are in this world, you're running your family business, and, you know, you're exposed to this world of luxury, you know, you watches and wonders, and you are exposed to 5-star treatment, maybe 6-star treatment sometimes. Does that tell you that maybe you want to pivot to a different side of this world that you're already in? What is that thing that informs your move?
It's not just one reason. I think at the time I was a little bit bored about the world of watch and jewels, and maybe this can sound a little bit wrong what I'm going to say, but I think it was too easy for me navigate on that thing, and I think that I needed the new challenges. And when I pivot in terms of the quintessentialist side was obviously I had the experience and the exposure in terms of accessing the best of life, and I think it made it a very easy transition for me, in the sense that basically I was doing the same thing. I was not just in the process of selling watches and jewels, so I was in the process of much more the experiential side, and that also, if you look from the last 10 years, becomes much more value in terms of the brands themselves. People no longer buy just something from Hermes or Chanel for what it is, but also what it comes with. Or like, for instance, in South Africa, we manage the BMW Excellence Club. So people that buy the 7 and 8 series cars, they automatically are on board in a program of luxury exclusivity that they access. And I think most of the brands, they understood that customers, they are no longer just buying the product. They are buying the product with what it entitles in terms of lifestyle and experience for them.
All right. And in 2016, then, you start with Quintessentially and you start in Portugal first, and then you move on to Dubai. And then 2019, you come to South Africa. So in those 3 years, what do you learn very quickly about or what are you exposed to? What lessons are you learning that until then, you know, you didn't know? Like, what was the progression in kind of your mind opening up into this world? Because you're now in a new job.
Well, you need always to be open-minded. First, because obviously growing up in Europe, you have some dogmas that you create. And when you go for the Middle East, you go for a completely different culture in terms of habits and the social. Then you need to be able to adapt. And obviously, maybe some people have a little bit more challenge with that. I think that Portuguese, in general, we adapt very easily where we go. Even in South Africa, we have like 200,000 Portuguese. So you can see that we come and we stay. We don't leave. So we don't have... we still have our roots and our connection to Portugal. But most of the Portuguese that are in South Africa that I connect, they are not thinking going back. So they are happy here. Mm. So I think to adjust in terms of different cultures also gives you... a broad vision in terms of the world, and what might be important in some markets, it's not in others. The Middle East, it's a very easy way to adapt. Obviously, we have a few advantages. You have pros and cons. There is no perfect place where you can go. But obviously, it's a market that is very exposed in terms of the leisure side, where you build some of the most exquisite hotels and villas in the world, where restaurants and drinks, it's mandatory. And then the transition to South Africa, funny enough, I was here in 2010 for the World Cup, where my country did really bad. but at the time I felt, well, this is a country that I wouldn't mind to live. And by chance, So in 2019, when I started here, was a little bit because in terms of quintessentially, we have a struggle to understand the African market. That is different. We have different challenges, even in terms of the banking size, meaning that I can go with my phone and wire money immediately for any part of the world. Here we have Forex. We have the central bank to control all the financial side of the transaction that you do overseas. So you have always pros and cons wherever you go in the world. So in terms of quintessential, we have 40 offices all around the world. And also we know that Japan is a very difficult market to enter and to book. Most of them, they don't speak English. Same for Russia before the sanctions. So we used to have an office there, and Russians, most of them, they don't speak English, what makes the connection very difficult in terms of any kind of request that you need to pursue. But about South Africa, I really find it interesting that really a melting pot in terms of different cultures, different people. And I think South Africans, they just come together when the Springboks play. I have that feeling that most of the time people are back to back. But when the Springboks play, you are one as a country. What for a foreigner is a very interesting way that you perceive the country itself. South Africa is a very fortunate country. So you have two oceans. You have the mountain, you have the deserts. Sometimes you go to the Midlands and you feel that you are probably in Europe in terms of the landscape. So the diversity that you have here, and obviously you have the wildlife, you are such a rich country in terms of all you offer. And I think that sometimes South Africans, they devaluate themselves what they have compared to most of the other countries that you can visit. So I would say that I'm quite fortunate to be half of my time here.
So you arrived here at an interesting time in 2019, because that's the year before COVID hit us, and we had locked down for, you know, a couple of years, maybe 2.5 years or so. How was that, you know, as a new person in the country? I mean, you had visited in 2010, but you're relatively new as a resident. How does that affect you in your adjustment in your personal life, as well as in the business life, as far as quintessentially goes?
So in terms of the business life, was a very challenging time. Like most of the companies in the travel side, we struggled a lot. We had, unfortunately, at the time to have some people to go in terms of, so we had some retrenchments, because obviously if there is no events, if you cannot travel, there is not much that you can do as a business. So it was very difficult days and very hard days. But I think also COVID opened some new windows and new opportunities for the future. I think the mindset of people after COVID changed, in the sense that a lot of people would save money, wouldn't spend, wouldn't experience. And after people being shut down at home for that period, I think that created much more the will for people to travel and to have different experiences. In terms of the private side, was obviously quite challenging. Also, as you remember, we had no booze. I'm a smoker, so I have all the bad habits. So it was quite a struggle in terms of that side. But we survived. We are here.
Yeah, and then what is your approach once things open up? What is the first thing that you need to do now? You know, as this service, in order to get your levels up to where you had hoped they would be from 2019 going forward?
So the market, surprisingly for us, took over very fast. I would say that by January-February 2022, the market was, I would say that in 2 months' time, recovered the pre-COVID signs. And obviously, I'm talking about the iNetwork space. So in terms of the iNetwork, what we saw also was that some of the people will still travel, mostly in private jet. What changes is that people from going to hotels were much more in going to a private villa where they have their privacy. But business...
What informed that? Was there still some anxiety around kind of being around a lot of people?
Yeah, it was still a little bit the fear in terms of how you can get the virus. So most of the people would prefer to fly in a private jet, to go to a villa that was sanitized, that basically don't have much interaction with people, and the people that were there, you need to do tests before they go to work and to be sure that while the family was there, they wouldn't go out, so that you minimize the risk in terms of the virus itself. But what happened is that really after that, and also because a lot of people saved a lot of money, during that period, nobody went shopping, nobody traveled. So I would say that people have a bigger capability in terms of spending the post-COVID times. And again, we felt that after COVID, we never had so many private members like we have right now. So that means also that the will for people to experience and to get exposed to the best of life took over. Then I think there is a second factor that is all the crypto side and the new order of things, if you want, where you see that the number of wealthy people grows bigger and bigger every year. And the availability of spending for some people has increased in a very big way. And what I think, and this is not a critic to anyone, but you can see that the middle class is shrinking. And you have much more the top tier and then the low tier, unfortunately.
When you look at, I mean, you have experience since, you know, you were a teenager really dealing with wealthy individuals, high net worth individuals in Europe, not just in Portugal, but in other and in the Middle East and now in South Africa. Are there any idiosyncrasies in the South African market that are different to, you know, to the different regions, to the other regions that you've worked in?
I would say that, for instance, in terms of requests, and this was a very big surprise when I arrived to South Africa, the first thing that I understood that was a struggle for South Africans was to get a visa. And before I lived here, I never imagined that South Africans would need a visa to go to Schengen or to the UK or the US. So that was a really kind of a shock suddenly that, wow, we need to sort something that in most of the countries, it's not a challenge. Mm. So you just take a plane and that's it. The second one that is very particular, not just about South Africa, but I would say the continent, is the number of requests that we get in the education side. So wealthy individuals, obviously they want to offer to their kids the best opportunities in terms of education. And we still have I would say a struggle in terms of the continent itself, in terms of boarding schools. So I would say that South Africa has much more requests in terms of summer camps, boarding schools, or also going to access the best universities. So basically what we do, we get the kids a tutor that get them ready for the exams of accessing the best schools. Meanwhile, our team of consultants also help them to retrieve a little bit what is the best option in terms of a degree. And things change a lot, I would say, also in the last 30 years, where we have now a degree that can be Mandarin with economics. So the offer changed, I would say, in a very big way. And by other side, as I said, we have some of our members that, for instance, they want to do what is very trendy now, the 3 weeks intensive in Stanford or Yale or the INSEAD. So these programs for executives, that most of the times, I would say that a part of, obviously, the state of the art of these 3 weeks, they're also looking for networking with other people all around the world.
Now, I think this is a good segue into, because these are some of the services that Some of our listeners will be aware that we've been teasing for quite a while the Most Wanted Club, of which you are a partner with Arena in bringing it to our readers. If someone asks you what the Most Wanted Club is, how would you explain it?
I think in terms of the Most Wanted Club, and obviously for us, working together with Arena, that is the bigger publisher, and Wanted Magazine, that is the leading magazine in terms of lifestyle in South Africa, it's a big step. In the sense that our view together with Arena is to deliver for high network individuals, not just in South Africa, but in Africa. So we designed the program to be very oriented in terms of what we can offer for Africans that go and want to experience a little bit the world. But what you want is to be a place where mindful, successful, and I'm not saying on purpose the word wealthy, because wealth can mean different things for different people. But basically that we get the same ground for people in Africa experience the best. And you know, one of the challenges that we might have, and probably you know as well as I do, is in South Africa, some of our members, they can be a celebrity. But when you arrive to Dubai or to London, basically you will have the same challenge like everyone else. And here, if you can call A, B, or C, or if you know the owner of that place, the doors can be open. So I would say that in terms of the Most Wanted Club, really we want to make it special every time that Most Wanted Club members will fly out, giving them access to the best experience in the world. So in terms of Most Wanted Club, we are going to cover everything in sports. So if you want to go to F1 and you want paddock tickets, in some cases you will have access to the suites of the brands like Mercedes or Red Bull or McLaren. And you might have opportunity to meet and greet with Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen. But also, we'll cover all the Champions League matches, semifinals and finals, the Premier League matches, or El Clásico Barcelona-Real Madrid. We cover the Ryder Cup in golf. We do the ATP that was last month in Wimbledon. So we are going to have US Open now in September. We do obviously Roland Garros in May. But we do the NBA Finals or Super Bowl. And the same in terms of the showbiz. So from the Oscars to the Golden Globes to the Met Gala to the Cannes Film Festival, Venice Film Festival that happens now in September, or Tribeca that happened in June in New York. So we cover the biggest events that happen all around the world, and the same in terms of the music side. So if you want to go and experience Coachella, we have Burning Man in October that is very popular for some South African customers. We have Tomorrowland, but we also do the jazz festivals, or we have some members that they want to experience now in August the opera season in Vienna. So what we will unlock for them is the opportunity to access to the biggest events that happen in the world. And obviously, because we are based in South Africa, we will cover all the big events that happen also here, giving you premium and exclusive access.
Let me just go in there, because I think that it's important to stress the different tiers. Because as you said, I mean, South Africa is a beautiful country. It offers you the whole world in one country, really, as far as experiences, climate and vegetation and so on. So just explain the tiers within the Most Wanted Club.
So in terms of the Most Wanted Club, we are going to have three tiers. One, that is by invitation only. We are going to have a few celebrities that are part of this tier. And then we'll have international and local. So international is much more for people that they are looking for international experiences. So as I said, if you want to go for a weekend in Monte Carlo and watch the F1 and probably stay 1 week more, and you go to Cannes for the film festival. So this is the kind of thing that we organize mostly for people that are looking for an international tier. In terms of local, we still have a lot of people that they love South Africa and they don't fly that much out. So basically what they'll be looking is to get access to the best restaurants, to get the best table. And what we do, I would say, better, because anyone can go online and book a restaurant. It's not rocket science. So you have to challenge one. In our case, we want our members always to feel more special. So if you go for most of the restaurants that we have here, what you'll get is a complimentary drink on arrival. And that is not because our members, they cannot pay for the complimentary drink. It's just for them to feel more special than everyone else that is in the room. The second, obviously, you know that some restaurants, they are difficult or hard to book. So we have agreements with most of these restaurants where we can make sometimes the impossible to be possible. Mm.
So you know, you speak about these wonderful experiences internationally and locally, and they're quite big. They're public, you know, almost inaccessible. But there's also a personal service that, you know, that is quite personal to individuals, things that you can offer people in their homes. You know, you mentioned, for example, the access to education. I'm thinking on the lifestyle side, what are the more personal services that you offer individuals?
So in terms of the concierge services, and basically this is what we are going to provide to the Most Wanted Club, we are talking about, we have no limits in terms of service. So basically, imagine if you need a helper or a housekeeper or a chef, or just a chef to go and cook for you and your friends for a special occasion. So these are all kind of things that we do. And we do some things that maybe they are not that sexy, like sometimes you need a plumber or you need an electrician to fix your generator. Obviously, we work hard in terms of the shopping side. So you know that we have some brands that we still don't have in the continent or even in South Africa. So sometimes we have a request, someone wants some shoes from Dior or a bag from Yves Saint Laurent or a watch from Audemars Piguet. So we are able to buy it, to courier it, and to deliver to you. We have a very strong connection with art. So next month we are going to have art Joburg, F&B. So we are going to be partners with the art fair and with Mandla Sibeko, that is someone that is a very good friend and someone that we really appreciate a lot for all the work that he's been doing in the art side for a long time. Mm-hmm. But we are partners with Frieze and Art Basel, that are the two biggest art fairs in the world. So we have been official partners with them for more than 10 years. So this allows our guests, in the case of Art Basel, to go to the Collector's Lounge, to have meet and greet with some of the artists. And the same as Frieze. In terms of Art Joburg, we are going to have a small lounge just for very exclusive for our Most Wanted Club members that will be hosting the art fair. And together with Mandla, we are organizing the after party, so on the 7th of September for the art fair. But we have also in South Africa very other things that are quite exciting. So we are going to have also in September, it's a very, very hot month in terms of happening, we have the Standard Bank Joy of Jazz. So I think in the last 2 years, and they just announced now we are going to have the Franschhoek Jazz Festival in Franschhoek next year, 2026. So there is a lot of exciting things happening in the country. And also what we always want is how to get you a special access or special treatment going to all these events happening in the country.
And how seamless is the process? I mean, I'm a member and I want either a special, you know, a chef for a special occasion, oh, I want to attend Formula One. Is it as easy as picking up the phone and phoning you? You know, well, not you, but I mean, I'll call you. But the normal member, is it as easy as picking up the phone and calling a consultant?
Yeah, basically the way that we set it, we have the member can always reach us by phone or by email. It's always member's preference in terms of the way that you want to reach us. And basically what we do, we have his profile open. So most of the times we already have the passport to take care of the flights. We'll check the visa if it's needed to apply for the visa. And basically what the member will tell us, look, I want to go and to experience the F1 in Abu Dhabi in December. So we call the relationship manager lifestyle manager. So our lifestyle manager team is going to basically to understand what kind of experience he wants, what kind of tickets he wants to have for the F1, and also what to do while you are that side. And then it will become, we'll get back to you with a code in terms of the flights, the accommodation, suggestions what to do while there. And as soon as you give the approval, we'll do the booking. So it's a very easy process. I'll say that we are, we have a special access in terms of our fingerprints, and because of the network of offices that we have all around the world, that makes our life very easy in terms of the booking process.
Mm. And how does the back end work? So when I sign up as a member, do you then take all of my details, credit card details, you've got my passport and so on, or does that happen from transaction to transaction, or is it as seamless as you now have my details and everything just gets charged to my account?
You need always to give us the CVV of your card, so we don't keep the CVV in our records. So when you sign up, basically we'll take the basic information, email, phone number, address, the passport copy. And in terms of the member, it's always up to your description. If you want to pay by credit card, if you want to pay by transfer, I don't recall anyone to ask to pay for cash. So basically that those are the two methods that that people request, credit card or by bank transfer.
Sure. So it's very safe for the members.
Yes, of course. You'll pay always directly to the supplier, okay. Not to us. So imagine if you book the hotel, you are going to be, your credit card is going to be given to the hotel. So we are not going to charge you for the hotel itself.
So all of the services then that you offer, so you do the hard work. So once as a member, once I pay my annual subscription, that's it. In terms of paying you, I'm done. And then you are at my beck and call.
Yeah, we want to make people's life better and easy. And you know that for most of our members, time is money. So obviously you can call a restaurant and make a booking, but it's much more easy to, for instance, sending a voice note to your relation manager or your lifestyle manager saying, book me this place for dinner tonight, 3 packs, 8 p.m. So the care that we'll put is about how to choose the best table for you. It's how to have the welcome drink for you and your guest. Mm. So this is much more the detail, because luxury end of the day is about the level of detail that you are able to address and to outcome in terms of what you offer to your customers.
Oh, so if I'm listening to this now as a Wanted reader and a listener to the Wanted podcast and I want to sign up, how do I do it?
Easy. First, you can call us anytime. You can go to the Wanted website, or you can go directly to mostwantedclub.africa, and you can do the process registration online. If not, you can call us and we'll be more than happy to assist you with the enrollment process.
Great. So we talked about September, and in the next couple of months, if you were to choose to curate, you know, maybe let's say 3 events that we should be, that members or potential members, readers of Wanted and listeners to this podcast, the kinds of events that we should be looking at trying to book.
Local or international?
Let's do two, local and international.
Well, local, as I said, I think the two that are coming, so the F&B Art Fair and the Joy, the Standard Bank Joy of Jazz, yes. I think they are, you cannot miss them. Mostly in Joburg, we really need this kind of entertainment to make us happy. Outside that international, I will definitely will go in December to Art Miami. It's a part of the vibe that the city has to offer. Sure. It has becoming one of the most interesting art fairs in the world.
For sure, because then you've also got Design Miami and you've got Art Basel Miami at the
correct.
Same time.
Yeah. Correct. So that week Miami is flooded with people during that week. It's really impressive.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful time there.
On other end, I'm a F1 lover, and I know that everybody goes to Abu Dhabi because it's very famous, but I'll keep my Portuguese roots and I'll advise you to go to Brazil.
Ah.
So Brazil has a lot to offer in terms of lifestyle, and it's going to be hot that sure. time, that side. And Brazilians are very welcoming to foreigners. Mm. And also we can experience from São Paulo to Rio, to the northeast side, very unique places to go and visit.
Sure. When is Brazil?
Brazil is in November. It's just 3 weeks before Abu Dhabi. So I think it's the first or second week of November.
Okay, great. So I'm going to Baku next month, the Formula One there. So I'll be getting in touch to find out what are the extra things that are extra special things I can do.
But I would say that, for instance, we have always a lot of South Africans going end of the year for Afro Nation in Ghana.
Yes.
Accra is a very vibrant city. It's also very welcoming, beautiful beaches, and the music it's really fun. I think sometimes in the continent, people always think about flying to Europe or Dubai or America, and we have really amazing things to be seen in the continent, from obviously the gorillas in Rwanda, the wildlife in Kenya. I'm a big fan of Vic Falls, so I was there already 3 times, and I'm always willing to go back. But also, for instance, going to Lagos in Nigeria, it's a really metropolis where you can enjoy. You really have a very good time in the continent with different options. And then lastly, I'm a big fan of Morocco. So that is definitely a destination that I would advise, being that Casablanca and Marrakesh is a must-go places in terms of your leisure time.
Great. I think on that note, thank you so much for joining us, Paulo. That was Paulo dos Santos. To join the Most Wanted Club, go to mostwantedclub.africa. Remember to like, share, subscribe, and talk about the podcast. You can reach me via email at mpyes@arena.africa. That's mpyes@arena.africa. With any suggestions, comments, or complaints. You can find us on Iono, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. We are at Wanted Online SA on the socials, and we update wantedonlinesa.co.za daily. Until next time, I am Spiwe Mpye.